Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of the Game Changers podcast. My name is Quinn Sergis, and it's a privilege and pleasure to be here with you as usual. This is an amazing episode, particularly because I'm speaking with best-selling author and host of the 1% Man podcast, Mr. Bertrand Ngampa. In this episode, Bertrand tells us how he is using his personal life story to help develop other young men into true 1% men. Here is this amazing conversation. Hello, Bertrand. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Quinn. How about you, brother?
I'm great, man. I'm so happy that you're on. You know, it's beautiful to have a conversation with somebody who I would consider somewhat a liked mind and somebody who could provide me as well with some amazing information. So I love having these conversations, man.
Yeah, me too. I think I live for these, man. I live for these. This gives me life.
For sure. All right, bro. Let's start with some general introductions.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what do you do for a living?
Yep. So my name is Bertrand Ngampa. I am a self-development coach and I'm also in IT. So I do those in tandem. So basically what I do is in the IT world, I'm program manager. So I just manage million-dollar projects for the government. But then on my nighttime job, like Bruce Wayne, when I put my cape on, I'm a self-development coach. So I create journals like this, products and services for men to help them become the 1% man. So I have a lot of fun doing it and I love it.
Beautiful. Now, I really want to speak to you about the coaching aspect because for me, that is the most interesting component, especially for this podcast in particular. You know, Game Changers really focuses on individuals who are doing things outside of the box. And I see that you are a coach. Let's start off by questioning, why did you get into coaching to begin with? Why coaching and consulting?
Man, so it actually goes back. So I used to be a personal trainer. And then when I was personal training, I transitioned to, you know, online marketing and just learning how to train people online. And then coach kind of just fit naturally. But also, I think throughout my whole life, and I'll preface this by saying, I don't think there's one situation that made me a coach. I think throughout my whole life, I love the aspect of coaching other people. So getting good at something and then helping somebody else get better at whatever you learn twice as fast, or even if they get a hair better and they get there and they get to the end result faster than you do, I believe that's a coach. Right. And that right there, that to me, that gets me so excited. It gets me jazzed up. So that's why I'm a coach.
Beautiful. So you just enjoy helping people.
Man, I enjoy helping people, but also enjoy getting paid. You know, I won't even lie to you.
Well, it pays very well. Yes, you know, you have to have that balance.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course.
Beautiful. Yeah, so I'm seeing that you really focused on, you know, developing individuals. Now, what particular type of people do you help?
Man, that's such a great question. I think the biggest thing, the type of people I help are people that actually want the help. Right. Men that actually want the help. And I believe I shouldn't say all men, but an open minded man that says, you know what, for me to go higher, for me to actually grow, I'm going to have to learn from somebody else. And I think that's the biggest thing. Those are the type of person that I really can help. Right. Someone that's like, you know, I'm not scared to invest in myself. I'm not scared to seek help. I'm not scared to say that, you know, I don't know everything. Right. To drop my ego, especially as men, we have huge egos. So the ability to be like, you know what, I'll drop my ego. I definitely want to learn from this guy, you know, because he has something that I want.
Interesting. So, I mean, why men in particular? I mean, you could have had, I mean, women as well. So why did you focus on helping gentlemen in that regard?
Ah, man, that's just, I think I believe there's two, more than two, but I think the two examples for me is one is that when I was going through a hard time and I wanted to commit suicide and I've written the letter and I was really just about to like end it all for myself, there was no one out there to help me. I went on a run and that run released dopamines within me that helped me to, you know, say the next day, I'll do it the next day, I'll do it the next day. And after that, I joined the military and did a lot of great things. And, you know, now I'm here and I'm still alive. But I just look out there in the world and I see that when men need help, you might get help for maybe a week or two, maybe a month from somebody, right, that really loves you. But at the end of the day, as a man, you really have to figure it out yourself. There is no one coming to help you. you know, managing the finances in your household. No one teaches you how to do these things, but they just expect because you're a man, you should know how to do it. People say, you know, right, protect people. No one teaches you self-defense, but you have to go figure that out and how to do it.
Right.
So a lot of these things, like men, we don't have the luxury of just learning how to do these things. It's just expected that at birth, when we reach 18, now that we're a man, we should go do all these things. Man up. Learn how to do these things. But for me, I want to take a different approach. I want to say, hey, you know what? You don't know these things. Well, let's build a community so you can not have a safe space, but an active space where you can actually learn these things, ask these questions, and then get the answers that you need to help yourself become a better man. Right? I didn't have all that, but just because I didn't have it doesn't mean someone else shouldn't. So why not build it for the future generations coming?
That's beautiful. And I would agree with that 100%, man. I think, you know, sometimes, like you said, rightfully, that we men are expected to just know certain things or expected to, I guess, figure it out on our own. And it's important to have mentorship and somebody to guide us. You know, I think ladies do a better job at that in terms of creating a community.
Yeah.
Right. And I like that you are really focusing on developing, especially young males, to become better individuals in society.
Exactly, exactly. And I think something you touched on that was really amazing is that, you know, if you look at men and women, right, women and children are the only two people that can ask for help, and people will gladly help them regardless. You know what I mean? Men, as a man, you're not going to go out there seeking to help men. Right. Nobody goes out there actually seeking to be like, let me go help these men. No. When we think about the vulnerable population, women and children, we don't think about men.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in that notion, and even the thing is, it's also like men that are fighting age. Right. So anyone that's like 16 and above, depending on the country that you're in, you're considered a man. When I was in Africa, a lot of the kids, I bet probably where you're from too, a lot of the kids, by the time you're like 12, 13, you're probably doing a lot of the man duties. Right. 14-year-old in Africa versus a 14-year-old in America, two different people, two different mentality, two different ways that they see the world and everything. But it's going to take somebody going down there, and being able to go into the dirt and mess with all your own stuff, right? Say, hey, look, I'm messed up just like everybody else. I have so much scars and all that. But then saying, hey, but I found a better way. This is the path. Because men have egos, men will challenge you, but you have to be 100% honest with men, because men will, they will sniff that out right away.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see through the nonsense very, very easily.
Oh, yeah.
And quick. I'm guessing that might be one of the challenges working with men in that regard. Would you say that? Or is it an opportunity?
I see it as opportunity. See, I'm not one of these coaches out here that I'm scared. You know, I curse. I tell people about, you know, what I do, and I'm super honest, right? So, I don't hide that. You know, I used to be broke. I don't hide the fact that if I'm low in my bank account, I don't hide that, right? I openly share that, so that way men are like, wow, this guy's like, if this is what he's like now, and this is just free coaching, right? And I tell people, hey, man, I had $2,000 in my account, had $5 in my account this week or whatever, or hey, look, I'm still going to therapy, right? I just celebrated 3 years of going to therapy for once a week. These things that I share openly, other coaches are scared to touch that, right? Race. Right. Going to the strip club, sex work, all these topics. Right. If you openly share about these and you openly are about that and you really are truthful, men can see through that. Right. So any alarm of like BS or whatever, it literally negates all that. And they're able to see, hey, this guy's very genuine. Right. It's very different. And it may be countercultural to what you know, but you at least are going to give me a shot. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Yep.
Now, I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, but speak to the importance of personal development in particular for men. How can a man develop themselves personally? What are some of the things, tips that you could give them?
Man, the first tip I'll give any man is save $25,000, right? And that is the biggest thing, because so many times you probably heard money's the root of all evil, but money's not that important. Follow your passion. Mm-hmm. But as men, we really have to understand that when you don't have your finances in order, there's nothing you can do. 9 out of 10 of your problems are financial problems that you have. 1 out of 10 problems, finances can't solve, but they can help you find a solution to invest into the solution, right? When I say that, what I mean is that if you're broke and you have mental health issues, right, you can't hire a therapist. But if you have money, you can take that money to invest into a therapist or a life coach or whatever, right? To help you. If you're fat, right? And you don't have money, you can't go to the gym, right? You can go work outside and do that, but you can't hire the best possible experts to help you in that situation. So that's why I believe money is the number one personal development tool for men, because it touches so many aspects of our lives, and so many people lie about how important money is for our lives, that when you start to really reel it in and start to save that money, there's so many times you're going to start saying no. There's so many things that's going to be exposed to you. Human nature, your own psychology, your own money scripts, like things that are in your head that are telling you how you feel, how you should act because of money. The way you dress, the way you think about things, you'll see all that start to change, and you'll become even a new person right before your eyes. You'll create a new self image of yourself. And that's the number one tool for personal development. Saving $25,000, saving that money. Let me tell you, when I did that, that opened a whole new way of viewing the world and viewing everything else around me.
Beautiful. So you're saying that, you know, having this nest egg or this savings really propels you to the next level.
Yes, it definitely does, because it's the man you become in the process of saving that $25,000, right? It's not about the money, right? Yes. The money is definitely helpful, right? Because it helps you to, you know, accept certain things, let go of certain things. But when you have that safety net behind you, the man you have to become to have that, and then to keep that going, oh wow, you know, it's totally. So I've saved $50,000, and I blew it all.
Wow!
And I blew it all because remember, I never upgraded my identity to say, okay, this is the new person I am with $50,000. I was shelling out money because I was like, oh well, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I was giving money out to my family, to people that needed it, to a point where I lend out 10,000, you know, $15,000 here, or $1,000 here, $2,000 here. People weren't paying me back, but I was like, oh, I can go pay it back. But I had to learn. But once I started saying no, mastering that no, that aspect of NO changed a lot of things, because relationships started to change with people. Right? People started to see me differently. Instead of seeing me as a savior, they were seeing me as a devil. Right? The same people that used to miss me and say, hey man, I hope nothing but blessings for you, you and your family, you're so great, da da da, you got me out this pinch. Then you say no, now they're like, wow, I can't believe it. Who are you?
Right.
Yeah. I even had a girl hit me because I was like, nah, I'm not gonna help. She hit me like literally, like came, and not even like in my face, just from behind, just knocked me out. Not knocked me out completely, but just like really gunned me. And I was just like, wow, she actually just hit me because I said no. Like, okay, cool.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I agree with that 100%. You know, many successful people that I listen to or I read about speak about the power of no, because, you know, saying yes is just almost giving away your right to choose or your freedom to hold things back. But the ability to say no in the right settings, of course, really, you know, gives you that power back. And I think it's very important that men in particular learn how to say no to certain things.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with you. No, I totally agree. And I love that you said that. We as men do need to learn how to say no. And we need to accept that no, it doesn't have to come with an explanation as well. And if you want to get an explanation, stick with that no. It may feel weird, maybe feel really weird in the gut, but just sit with the no and just say it and accept it, right? And it doesn't have to feel good, you saying no. You saying no is not going to feel good. Every decision you make isn't going to feel good. I want men to understand that too. That no, every time I say no, whether it's my mom, whether it's my teachers, whether it's my friend, my cousins, whatever, that no doesn't feel good. But it does help me get to where I need to go. And effectively, more people because of that. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, gentlemen, learn to say no.
Yes.
This ad slot could be yours. In a world filled with stories, make yours resonate. Introducing Prime ad slots on our podcast, the gateway to a captive audience eager to hear your message. Secure your exclusive ad slot now. Contact via our Instagram page to find out more.
Now, I know that you're a podcaster as well. You know, you have a podcast as well. It's the 1% Man.
Yeah.
First of all, what inspired you to launch that podcast? And tell us, you know, how can somebody truly become that 1% Man?
Okay, so two-part question. Love it. So, number one, Jason Moore was is my coach, is my life coach, and okay. He was telling me that I should launch the 1% Man. I was looking for a community of men that were, you know, young in like their 30s, maybe early late 20s, but also early maybe like 40s, that were in that age range where I could come together and we could do life together, right? That were they were focused on making financial gains, focused on legacy, focused on money. But I couldn't find it everywhere I went. I joined millions, let's say millions of programs, but I joined a lot of programs. I would say a lot. Right. I invested almost maybe like a good maybe 50K into programs, investing into like coaching and consulting and trying to find somebody that could really give me what I was looking for. And when I sat down on the phone with Jason, he let me explain him what I was looking for. And he said, you know what? I don't have that. Right. What you're looking for, you're going to have to build it. And I was like, I don't want to build it. I want to go somewhere where it's already there and I can, you know, join this community.
Right.
Da, da, da. And he said, you have to build it. Then I had a phone call with a friend that even doubled down even more on me. So I was on the phone with him. I was telling him about my, at the girl at the time I was dating, beautiful girl from North Carolina. And we were just talking and I was telling him all the issues we were going through. I was being da, da, da. And after that, I'd say, okay, how about you? He's like, yeah, I got to train this. And I'm like, whoa. What? So, and then again, he says it. I was like, what do you mean? And I'm challenging him, right? And we're almost at the point where we're not yelling, but I'm just like, how can a person think that you can train a woman like a horse?
Right.
So, long story short, basically told me about the red pill, then black pill, incels and all this stuff. And I was like, So to me, I just believe that like, if there's people out there that could hide their face and that couldn't be honest about what they really wanted out of life or what they wanted from the woman that they wanted, then why am I scared to launch this podcast? Right. And who am I not to launch this podcast? Right. If this keeps coming up and this keeps hitting me in my face and my face over and over again, and I keep seeing that men need this, then if it ought to be, it ought to be up to me. Right. If it ought to be, it's up to me. So I just took it by the reins and I said, you know what? I'm going to launch the podcast. And I just started figuring it out. Got a lot of great guests on there. 13 time bestselling author, CCB, The Real Freeway with Ross, John Vitti, Versus Games. I mean, we had a lot of great, you know, people making, you know, seven to nine figures. Some people making six figures, relationship experts, all that. So it was really great, but truly, the aspect of becoming a 1% man is about the progress over perfection. Every single day, getting 1% better. All right. And accepting whatever calling that's on your life and accepting the persecution that comes with it too. Because I think this is something that's super important that we have to understand is that when you have a calling on your life, whether it's shooting a podcast, whether it's writing a book or whatever it is, that fear that you feel that everyone's going to talk about you, that's real. People will talk about you. People will say, who are you to write a podcast? Who are you to these things? Right. But as a 1% man, you're focused on your mission. You're focused on delivering that outcome and speaking the right words that's going to help that one man change his life and completely change his legacy forever, right? If you're so focused on yourself that you can't give to other people, then, I mean, brother, end it now, right? You might as well do it now,
right?
Okay? But you have to be so hyper-focused on saying, you know what, regardless of all the persecution that comes my way or whatever, perfect example, it's Easter right now, right? If Jesus never went on the cross for any of us, then would we be here now, right? I'm just talking to the Christians here, right? In terms of giving you a religious example, right? If Muhammad never listened to Allah in the cave, right, and wrote down everything, would we even have the Quran, right? Think about that. These people, that massive movements that they've created, right, that they had to go through some type of persecution. And you and your little self thinking that, oh, wow, you're not going to go through some type of suffering or some type of change or some type of like little name calling. People called me white when I started going to therapy. So what?
Wow.
Right. I don't care. But the process is now that I know a lot of black men that go to therapy because I go to therapy now. People say, oh, Rich, I want to grow up and be like you. But the suffering that I had to go through, even launching the podcast, people told me, who are you to launch a podcast? Who would ever read your book? 4 best-selling books later. What's up, brother? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's the real thing about becoming a 1% man. It's being so focused on the mission. I know I said a few things there, but it's not just one thing about being 1% man. Progress over perfection, right? You may not have it all, but at the end of the day, progress every single day. And it's never going to be 100% perfect. It's always going to be 97%. But as long as you can shoot for progressing every single day, man, you'll be a 1% man.
Beautiful. I like that a lot, man. So it's about gradual progression, right?
Exactly. Every single day. Mind-numbing progression every single day.
Absolutely. Now, you kind of touched on it a little bit. You said that you were a best-selling author.
Yes.
Now, I like to speak to creatives, people who write and who put things like that together to just get an idea of their creative process. What was that like for you, you know, writing books?
Yeah. So my first book, it's funny. So I wrote by hand. Kind of the way my brain works, I actually think it points up from point A to point B, right? Since being a project manager, getting my PMP, I saw everything in terms of like projects, right? So where's this point? Where's the ending point, right? So if we're starting here, we have no money, we're broke. And then the ending point, I want to be rich, wealthy, and I want to have a house or whatever that is, all right? Backwards planning is something I learned in the military as well. So I have my starting point right here. I have my ending point. What do I need to do so that way I can go backwards? Or what's the next step that I need to do to go forward? Right. And then I'd be in the middle. So that's kind of how I do it. Right. I find a starting point for my book and who I'm talking to. And when I write my book, I talk to only one person. And then at the end of the book, I say, okay, this is where they need to be. What do they need in between? Right. And then I start to make a list and sometimes I move things up the list, down the list. But after I have that solidified list, that's my book right there. Right. It's just the outline of the book.
Yep.
And after that, I get to writing, whether that's me writing physically or whether that's me talking to text or whether that's me just taking the audio from like a transcript like this, where I have a friend interview me about my book. And then I take that transcript, send it to rev.com, and then Rev translated it into words, and then I send it to an editor on Upwork or Fiverr or wherever I find an editor, and they translate it into a book. Still my words, still my books. And that's the process for it. That's really the creative process at the end of the day. Have a starting point, have an ending point, figure out what the middle points need to be, change it around until you have that outline. Then after that, boom, after you have that outline, man, you're golden.
Beautiful. I like that. So I like the process, man, and I like that, you know, It's dynamic. So it's not just one way that you write. It could be different ways that you can get inspired to write for the book. So that's beautiful. I like that process. Beautiful. All right. So we're moving on to my favorite segment of a Game Changers podcast, and that is the Quick Hitters segment. So these are rapid fire questions. I tell my guests, answer in 30 seconds or less.
Cool.
The first thing that comes to your head, tell us.
Yep.
Okay?
I'm ready for it.
Okay, let's go. So the first quick hitter question. What's the worst piece of advice you've ever gotten?
Oh, pray and hope that God blesses you. Pray and wait for God. That's the worst piece of advice I've ever gotten.
Okay, interesting. What is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten then?
Pay yourself first.
Very interesting. And what, a final quick hitter question. What are you currently working on
for yourself, personal
development?
Oh, for myself?
Yeah.
I am currently working on being more emotionally available and not shutting down in situations. So when somebody talks to me, instead of me just shutting down because they're yelling at me, when I was young, I always had my brother to talk for me, so I would shut down. But now for myself, it's like, even if I'm getting yelled at, I try to move that aside and say, okay, how can I actually be present in this moment and not shut down and let the 4 or 5 year old Bertrand show up, but know how the 32 year old Bertrand can show up in this situation.
Beautiful. So have an emotionally mature response.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, it's hard, but I love
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. I like that a lot, man. All right, so this is the end of the rapid fire segment.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We're coming quickly to the back end of the interview, but I really enjoy where it has gone thus far. A young person is looking at you, Bertrand, and wants to become just like you. What would your advice be to them?
First advice would be to save 25,000, man. That'd be the first advice.
Right.
You want to be a 1% man, save 25,000. The process and the man you're going to become, you will be ahead of 97% of Americans. I believe 87% of Americans, last I checked, don't have more than $500 in their bank account. Now, you have 25,000 saved up. You are ahead of 85% of the population in America alone. In America, I mean, our wages are way, are, I mean, if you look at America, you're in the top 1% already in America. So you're the top 1% right. of the 1% if you have 25,000 saved, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I would even tell them too, second thing I tell them is like, get a high income skill, a remote high income skill that you can do from anywhere in the world, right? Whether that's sales, whether that's copywriting, whether that's, you know, learning how to create offers, learning how to, you know, create podcasts like this, PR, whatever that is, get a high income skill that doesn't require you to clock into a 9-to-5, right? For me, it's sales and writing, right? Sales and writing helps me to do that. Be able to make six figures without clocking in somewhere. But, you know, you always need something to fall back on. So yeah.
Absolutely. Brilliant advice. I don't even have anything to add to that. That's brilliant advice.
Yeah.
All right. So additionally, somebody wants to get in contact with you, you know, for one of your services, or just wants to talk to you just for a conversation. How can somebody do that?
Honestly, the best way I'll tell them is like TikTok or Instagram at beingagampa.com. At BNGAMPA on all social media platforms. They can send me a message. I usually sometimes have them delete off my phone, but somebody from my team or even myself will get back to them. They can always email me too at bngampa2@gmail.com. That's bngampa2@gmail.com. Excuse me. That's my personal email. So they can actually send me a direct email. And I'll read that because I check my email a lot more frequently than I do check my social media. So yeah.
Beautiful. And we always leave the links down below so for easy access to anybody who watches this.
Okay, perfect. Right.
Beautiful. Final question to you.
Yeah, hit me.
What is next for you?
Man, what's next for me? So really, our next big game plan is to take over DC. So I really want to solidify myself as DC, the number one podcaster in DC. So I'm going to be looking for politicians, big name hitters in DC, and I'm going to get them on my podcast. And I'm going to be the number one podcast in DC and the go-to guy for connection in DC. That's like the number one thing that I'm doing right now. In terms of podcasting, in terms of revenue wise, it's to sell 100 of these journals by the end of the year, right? It's to sell 100 of our Ascension journals by the end of the year. So I'm super excited about that one as well. And I think a personal goal is to increase my income to, 1.75 million by next year. So those kind of three things that are next for me right now that I'm working on.
Beautiful, beautiful. And based on our conversation, based on who I have learned that you are, I know you can hit these goals for sure. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And you know, let me know how I can help along this ride. I know I'm helping with the podcast, but however else I can help, let's help each other.
Yes.
Your network is your network.
Agreed. Agreed a lot, brother. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, bro. So we've wind down to the end of what was an amazing conversation. I want to thank you for choosing to come on to the Game Changers podcast. I might have to, you know, come on to your podcast one of those days. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, of course. But
I really, really, really love these conversations. And I know that, you know, all individuals, whether male or female, who is listening to this podcast would really appreciate the information that you have given. So thank you very much.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on. So yeah, and I definitely have to have you come on because we definitely have a good conversation on my podcast. So I look forward to it, brother.
For sure. For sure. Okay, guys, this is the end of yet another episode. Remember to like and subscribe to Game Changers, right? There are so many more amazing guests coming on, just like Bertrand, who have so much amazing information that I want to share with you guys. So remember to like and subscribe so that you can stay connected. Also, remember to get our Game Changers merchandise. You know, I'll be putting it up on the screen right now for those of you who are watching on YouTube. Remember to get our Game Changers merchandise. You want to rep Game Changers? You want to show off the Game Changer in you? Get our merchandise as well. Anyhow, this has been yet another amazing episode. Again, thank you guys for coming on, and I'll see you next time. Until then, stay hungry. Bye-bye.